There are moments in life when everything pauses. The earth hesitates, the atmosphere stills, and time shrinks and folds onto itself until it collapses into a big, tired heap. As I push through the small wooden door of the Riyadh where Jenica and I have camped out the past several weeks, trading the hush of rose and honeysuckled scented courtyard for the chaos of the serpentine maze of Medina, it happens again. But instead of mimicking the stillness like I usually do, I decide to go with it and try something fun. Easing my way along connecting salmon-colored walls, I pass a small, thin man caught in mid-stride, press my fingers against the soft white cotton of his gandora, and gently spin him around until he's facing the opposite way. Then, after ducking beneath a mangy black cat that, caught in mid-leap, appears to be flying, I stop at the corner where I take a moment to rearrange a display of shiny brass lanterns an old man is selling before moving on to the very next stall where I slip a pair of bright blue babouches onto my feet, decide that I like them, and leave my old leather sandals along with a fistful of crumpled up dirhams as payment. My eyes burning with the effort of keeping them open, knowing the instant I blink, the gandora-clad man will be one step farther from his destination, the cat will land on its mark, and the two vendors will gaze at their wares in total confusion. The scene will return to one of perpetual chaos. Though when I spot the glowing people hovering on the periphery, studying me in the careful way that they do, I'm quick to squinch my eyes shut and block them from view, hoping that this time, just like all the others, they'll fade away too, return to wherever it is they go when they're not watching me. I used to think everyone experienced moments like that, until I confided in Jenica, who shot me a skeptical look and blamed it on jet lag. Jenica blames everything on jet lag, insists time stops for no one, that it's our job to keep up with the frantic forward march. But even back then, I knew better. I've spent my entire life crossing time zones, and what I'd experienced had nothing to do with a whacked-out body clock. Still, I was careful not to mention it again. I just waited quietly, patiently, hoping the moment would soon return. And it did. Over the past few years, they've been slowly increasing, until lately, ever since we arrived in Morocco, I've been averaging 3 a week. A guy my age passes, his shoulder purposely slamming into mine, his dark eyes leering in a way that reminds me to arrange my blue scarf so that it covers my hair. I round a corner, eager to arrive well before Vane, so I can catch the Jama Alfana at dusk, banging into the square where I'm confronted by a long line of open-air grills bearing goats and pigeons and other unidentifiable meats, their skinned and glazed carcasses rotating on spits, shooting savory clouds of spice-laden smoke into the air, the hypnotic lull of the snake charmer's tune emanating from cross-legged old men perched on thick woven mats, playing their punjas as glassy-eyed cobras rise up before them, all of it unfolding to the spellbinding pulse of the Nua drums that continuously thrum in the background, the soundtrack for the nightly resurrection of a bewitching square returning to life. I take a deep breath, savoring the heady blend of exotic oils and jasmine as I cast a final glance around, knowing this is one of the last times I'll see it this way. The film will wrap soon and Jenica and I will be off to whatever movie on whatever location requires her services as an award-winning makeup artist. Who knows if we'll ever return? Picking my way toward the first food cart, the one beside the snake charmer where Vane waits, I steal a handful of much-needed seconds to crush that annoying ping of weakness that grabs at my gut every time that I see him. Every time I take in his tousled, sandy blonde hair, deep blue eyes and softly curving lips. Sucker, I think, shaking my head, adding, fool. It's not like I don't know any better. It's not like I don't know the rules. The key is to not get involved, to never allow myself to care, to just focus on having some fun and never look back when it's time to move on. Vane's pretty face, just like all the other pretty faces before him, belongs to his legions of fans. Not one of those faces has ever belonged to me. And they never, ever will. Having grown up on movie sets since I was old enough for Jenica to sling me into a backpack, I've played my role as the kid of a crew member countless times. Stay quiet, stay out of the way, lend a hand when asked, and never confuse movie set relationships for the real thing. The fact that I've been dealing with celebrities my entire life leaves me not so easily impressed, which is probably the number one reason they're always so quick to like me. I mean, while I'm okay to look at, tallish, skinnyish, with long dark hair, fairish skin, and bright green eyes that people like to comment on, I'm pretty much your standard issue girl. Though I never fall to pieces when I meet someone famous, I never get all red-cheeked and gushy and insecure. And the thing is, they're so used to that, they usually end up pursuing me. My first kiss was on a beach in Rio de Janeiro, with a boy who just won an MTV award for Best Kiss. Clearly, none of those voters had actually kissed him. My second was on the Pont Neuf in Paris, with a boy who just made the cover of Vanity Fair. And other than being richer, more famous, and more stalked by paparazzi, our lives really aren't all that different. Most of them are transients, passing through their own lives just like I'm passing through mine. Moving from place to place, friendship to friendship, relationship to relationship. It's the only life I know. It's hard to form a lasting connection when your permanent address is an 8-inch mailbox in the UPS store. Still, as I inch my way closer, I can't help the way my breath hitches, the way my insides thrum and swirl. And when he turns, flashing me that slow, languorous smile that's about to make him world famous, his eyes meeting mine when he says, "Hey, Dare. Happy Sweet 16. I can't help but think of the millions of girls who would do just about anything to stand in my pointy blue babouche.